Psalms chapter 42, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in thee. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hemonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, what a privilege it is to open your word. Now, God, I pray that you'd speak to us this morning through it. Lord, change our lives. God, I pray that you would help us to take something from today's service, Lord, that will be a help. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live better for you, Lord, in this day and age we're living in. And be with the listeners and help me, Lord, as I preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Has anyone ever told you to get real? And, you know, when I talk to my wife about being a great golfer, I often hear those words amidst her big eye rolling, you know, get real, you know. And, but when it comes to God, we need to get real about who he is and the relationship that he wants us to have with him. And I want to preach a message this morning. I've entitled this, Get Real About God. Get Real About God. To many people, God is what they want him to be, and not what the Bible says he is. In many churches, people have a false reality of who God is. The holy God of this book is not the God of the so-called praise and worship crowd that are rocking for Jesus. That's not the God of the Bible. And there is a God in the Bible who that is worshiping, but it's not our true and holy and one God. Folks, we got to get beyond the point just because someone says they believe in God or even use the name of Jesus Christ does not necessarily mean that that's who they are worshiping and who they are praising. Hey, folks, you know what? The God of the Jehovah Witnesses and the God of the Mormons is not the God of the Bible. That's not the God. Now, they use his name, but just because they use his name does not mean they've given God, kind of like what's going on today, identity theft. They're taking God's identity and trying to thieve it away from him, but they can't do that because we need to get real about who God is. And every person in this world yearns and longs for God, even if they don't realize it. Every person does. You see, you got to understand something, folks. When God made us, he made within inside of us a vacuum. A vacuum that can only be filled with a true relationship with him. And every person in this world desires that. And there's people out there filling that vacuum with all sorts of things to try to fill that vacuum. They're trying to fill it with religion. And by the way, folks, religion is nothing more than man's attempt to get to God. That's all religion is. Man's attempt to get to God. People in this world are filling that vacuum with religion. And you know that's true. If you've ever seen a news report over in Rome about all the people that floods there, the Vatican and all that, and all the Muslims throughout the world, what are those people doing? Well, they're filling the vacuum with religion. People fill it with violence. They fill it with drugs. They fill it with immorality. They fill it with withdrawal. They fill it with suicide, music, friends. You name it. Anything besides a relationship with Jesus Christ is what they're trying to fill that vacuum with. Almost anything that you can imagine people are trying to do to satisfy themselves. But folks, they can only truly satisfy themselves. That vacuum can only be filled with the true relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember a few, it's been about a month or so ago, we were visiting over in Vicksburg, and it hasn't just happened there. As the day and age that we're living in, I run into these people quite often. But one of our young people ran into someone who they call themselves an emo. And I thought that was a Sesame Street character. I'd never really heard of this before. But I guess there's a trend today going on through our public schools. Some of them they call themselves emo, stand for hyper emotional, and these people, these young people, are deceived with this. And as I've studied this out a little bit more, I find out this all started with music, and they're hyper emotional, and by the way they carry themselves, they're self mutilators. And why are these young people doing this? It's because they're trying to fill the vacuum. They don't have a reality about God. And so this morning, I want to give you some reality facts about God from Psalms chapter 42. Some reality facts about God. Number one is this. God is there. Let me say that again. Very simple, but let me say that again. God is there. Notice what the psalmist says here in verse 3. He asked a question, where is thy God? He asked a question again in verse 10, where is thy God? You know, the Bible has a word for this, and it's called omnipresent. And by the way, folks, may we be encouraged by this fact, Satan is not omnipresent. But we know through the Bible that God is. Everywhere you are, no matter what situation you face, God is there. Where? There. God is there, folks. Do you have a trial? Hey, God is there. Hey, young person, has your dad left you? Has your mom left you? Well, let me tell you something. God is there. If your parents leave you, if your parents have a divorce, God is there. If you have a hard time with the pressure of being what people expect you to be, God is there. If people think that, some people think that God is only present in the situations where bad things happen, but that's not true. God is everywhere. He is here this morning. The Bible tells us, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Hey, Jesus Christ is present this morning. Hey, God wants us in every to understand that in every situation of life, He is there. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, He is there. Let me read to you. Let's turn there and let's read a passage of Psalms that illustrates this truth beautifully. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 1, chapter 139. Y'all know where I'm going. You've read this psalm before. It's a psalm of comfort. Praise the Lord for this psalm. Psalms chapter 139. Let's read verses 7 through 14. David asked a question, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Folks, may I say this, in every situation you will encounter, God will be there with you. Now, that can be a good thing or that can be a bad thing. God is not only there to help us through the difficult times, He is also there to see us when we do the things we should not do. This children's song we sing, it's not just a song. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Hey, folks, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hey, did you do something good this week for somebody? Hey, you can rest assured God saw that. But on the flip side of that, did you do something you shouldn't have done this week? God saw that also, because God is there. Just because you can't see God with your physical eyes does not mean He is not real or He is not with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So folks, let me just give you a little reality check about God in your life. He is there. I know sometimes you may not think so. I know sometimes, you know, the devil comes to you and our minds get filled with doubt and with frustration and with fear and confusion. And we wonder if God's there. And you know what? Sometimes God will even appear that He's not there. But may I say He is. God is there. So if we will just remember that, that may help you walk a little differently this week. If we remember that God is there. Reality fact number two is this. God is good and His plan is good. God is good and His plan is good. Now our pastor taught us about this last week. He taught us about the facts of that God is good. But notice what we find back in Psalms chapter 42 verse 5. Notice what it says here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? There's a problem here. The psalmist says that he's cast down. His soul is cast down. And that it's disquieted within him. Maybe he's going through a bout of some type of depression or something. But we find out here that he's in a bad state. But notice his remedy. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. In every way, all the time, God and His plan are good. If He takes someone you love because of cancer, God is still good. There's never a time when He will not be good. Hey, Christians are afraid. You know why Christians are afraid of God's will? Because they're afraid that in their lives, they will perceive God's will to be a threat to their plans for their life. That's why Christians are afraid. It's a tactic of the devil. Christian, hey, and he's not just good at getting young people with that one. He gets sometimes us mature Christians with that one. We think somewhere in the back of our mind, there's this thought that if we just surrender completely to God, it will be a threat to our happiness. May I say this? Why don't we realize that our own plans are like cancer and God's will is like Disneyland? Because honestly, in reality, folks, that's really the way it is. Now, I'm not saying that it's always going to be a bed of roses and a nice, rosy, fun life. But I will tell you this, it'll be much better than living a life for yourself. And I promise you this, at the end of your life, you will much rather have done God's will and His plan than your own. Because God's good and His plan is good. Now, the question to us is this, which way are we going to choose? You see, if there was some miraculous way that we could watch a videotape of our life and we could see, our life lived our way and then our life lived God's way. If we could watch that, I guarantee you we would not choose our way for one second. But here's the deal. You don't get to see the tape and then decide. You've got to live by faith. You've got to live by faith. When you can't see the steps laid out ahead of you, you choose to do it God's way by faith. That is how we must live to please God. That is why God has chosen in our era to give us His Word and give us His Spirit and not to reveal Himself to us in a way that can be sensed with our physical senses. He's chosen to do it that way so that we can please Him by walking by faith. God's chosen to do it that way. He wants us to trust Him in His way above our way. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. You notice what it said there? It doesn't say that without faith you can please God a little bit. It says no, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Romans 14:23 tells us this, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So folks, we have to live by faith. That's the way God set it up. You say, well, what is faith? I'll tell you. I know there's a lot of definitions of faith, and there's many good definitions of faith. But faith is basically just taking God at His word and living by that. That's what faith is. If the Bible says it, okay, God, I may not necessarily understand it, but I choose to believe it because You say it in Your word. That's living by faith. And that's how we must base our salvation upon, folks. I mean, hey, think about it. I mean, you know, you understand what salvation is, and you understand what it is what we believe in. Hey, we're believing in someone we've never seen. We're telling people about a place we've never been to. But yet, why do we have that hope? Why do we know it's true? Because the Word of God tells us it's true. And our faith is in the Word of God. The people who live a life of faith based upon the Bible is a steady life. It's a steady life. It's something worth anchoring your soul to. You can anchor your soul to the Bible. I like what Billy Sunday said. He said in his testimony, if the Bible goes down, I'm going down with it. And may I say that, folks? Hey, if the Bible's not true, we're all in trouble. May I say this? It is true. It's been proven time and time again. Hey, you know what? I don't need some stupid History Channel documentary to tell me the Bible's true. I don't care if they think they can prove the Bible true or not. Who cares? God says it's true. My faith is in the Bible. I've seen what it does to people's lives. And because of that, I know it's true. I mean, folks, I told our young people this morning in Sunday school, we've been teaching about the armor of God. Hey, do you realize the Bible can do what no other human weapon? I mean, man's invented some pretty neat, awesome weapons. Brother Klein was telling me not too long ago about a weapon that the Navy's invented that if someone gets within range of their ship, the first thing it does is shoots out a sonar beam that makes a real loud noise. And then if they get closer, it shoots out something that burns their skin like a microwave beam. And then if they get closer, it just launches the missiles and blows them up, okay? So man's invented some pretty neat weapons. But may I say this, man has never invented anything that can change a heart. Only God, through His Word, can do that. That's what's so powerful about the Bible. So God wants us to live by faith. So may I say this, this reality is this, is God is good and His plan is good. So walk by faith. Walk by faith. Anchor your soul to the Bible and realize that God is good and His plan is good. Number three, reality fact number three about God is this. God is in control. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that the United States government is not in control of this world and our present circumstance? Oh, they may think they're in control, but may I say that they're not. The Bible tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, giveth it whomsoever He will. Hey, God is in control. Notice what we find in Psalms chapter 42, verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, for all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Notice here, whose waves and whose billows? God's waves. God was in control. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of whose waterspouts? Thy waterspouts. God was in control of the circumstances here. God's the one that caused the storm, and God's the one that was in control of the storm. Hey, God is all-powerful, always working for the best, even when things seem to be out of control. And I'm sure if this psalmist here was likening his situation to a water spout, and from what I'm told, a water spout is like a tornado on the water. I'm sure it's not a fun situation to be in. Or the waves and thy billows are gone over me. If he's likening his situation to something like that, then it must be a pretty desperate situation. But who is in control of that situation? God was in control. And God is in control. And hey, if I were to ask you to bow your head and raise your hand, if you had something in your life that's not going well, I'm sure everyone in this room would raise their hand. Hey, you don't have to always understand God to know that He's in control. Okay? There will be circumstances in your life that you will wonder why God allowed them and where in the world He is. But may I say this, He's in control. Hey, through the waves here that the psalmist was describing, he may not have been able to sense or even see the presence of God. But by the very fact of the terms that he's using here, we know that he recognized that God was in control of that situation. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, I love this passage. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Hey, folks, you know what? God's going to do that for you in your situation. He is going to rebuke the sea. He is going to cause a great storm. But sometimes he has to allow the storm to teach us things we need to be taught. Because God knows us. Hey, God knows us better than we know us. Hey, if we had it our way, life would always just be a cush ride, wouldn't it? I mean, we'd never have problems. We'd always have money in our bank account. Our cars would never break down. Our kids would never get sick if we had it our way. But God realizes that certain circumstances He needs to bring in our lives to help us be what we ought to be so that we can reach the people we need to reach for eternity. Because God's more interested in eternity than He is the present in our lives. God's more interested in eternal results. And that's what we need to be interested in, is in eternal results. Hey, if God allowing something in your life caused you to reach somebody for eternity that you wouldn't have reached, and because of this situation, you've been able to lead a soul to Christ, don't you think in eternity, in retrospect, you'll be glad you went through that situation? Sure you will be. If through it, God can use you to reach somebody. Now, I know it's not fun at the time. It's not fun at the time to be sick. It's not fun at the time to have chemotherapy pumped through your veins. It's not fun at the time to have your children in the hospital or to maybe even bury a child or bury a loved one. Those things aren't fun at the time, but I promise you, in retrospect, when we get to eternity, if we will allow those situations to make us into what God wants us to be, I promise you, it'll be all good then. And we'll realize it then. So we must understand that God is in control of those circumstances. So the next time a circumstance comes, folks, that, you know, it really gets you. And by the way, you know what? It's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. They're coming. God allows them to come. When that happens, remember something, that God is in control. God's in control of that circumstance. And let's come through it and accomplish the purpose for which He wants us to accomplish. Reality fact number four about God is this. Now, this is a good one to follow that point, is this. God likes you. Let me say that again. God likes you. Okay? Look here in verse 8. Yet the Lord will command, notice here, His loving kindness in the daytime. I love that word, loving kindness. Not just love, not just kindness, but loving kindness. Loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. God likes you. Now, we know God loves us, but let me say this, especially to His children, God likes you. There's a difference between loving somebody and liking somebody, okay? I mean, I love my wife, but I also like her, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have married her, okay? Because God commands me to love everybody, but He did not necessarily command me to like everybody, all right? But you know what? Hey, God likes us. Do you realize today people don't like themselves? They don't like the way they look. They don't like the way their breath smells. They don't like the way their hair color is, their eye color, the shape of their bodies. They wish they were taller or shorter. They're consumed with disliking themselves. Hey, that's what's so dangerous, young people, about this garbage music that the world's feeding out. It tells you to hate yourself. It tells you that you are of no self-value. Hey, why are we not surprised in our public school system that we have this garbage when they teach our kids that we're no better than animals anyway? By the way, that's what, you know, they tell us, that's what we evolved from. If they teach us we're no better than animals, then why in the world should we expect our kids not to like themselves if they're on the same animal mentality? But let me tell you something. Hey, you know what? You may not like yourself, but God likes you. Hey, some people even hate themselves. Hey, the devil is constantly telling them that God, their boss, their pastor, their teachers are upset at them. The devil is against them and wants to drive them away from God. I want you to know that God does not only love you, He likes you and wants to experience a relationship with you. God likes you. Proverbs 11:20 tells us this. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. His delight. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. There's that word delight again. Okay? Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. God delights when we do certain things. That delights God. I don't know about you, but you know, I want my life, I want God to delight in the things that I do. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't discipline us. Because we know, according to the Bible, that when we don't do what we ought to do, God has to spank us just as we take care of our own children. Hey, God has to get us back in place. Hey, but you know why He does that? He does it because He loves us. And He does that because He likes us. That's why God does that. And just because God doesn't give you, you know, $1 million doesn't mean He doesn't like you. Or just because He doesn't give you, you know, the $40,000 SUV you've always been dreaming of doesn't mean He doesn't like you. The Bible tells us we need to be content with the things that we have. That's the secret to life. So understand something. God likes us. Number five, reality fact about God is this. God can change you. God can change you. Anybody want to testify? My hands up. God can change us, folks. Praise the Lord for that. Aren't you glad about the verse that talks us about new creatures in Christ? And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that God just didn't save us and then leave us the way we were. He cleaned us up. He changed us. I mean, notice with me here in verse 9 and 11. 9 through 11, what it says here. Psalms 42. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemy reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Notice the psalmist's disposition here. Once again, he's doubting God. He is saying, you know, hey, you know, what's going on here, God? My enemy's reproaching me. And they saying to me, where they're questioning me. God, things aren't going good right now. But notice what in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Notice how his disposition changes from verses 9 and 10 to verse 11. You know why? You know why he changed his disposition? Because God changed him. and God can change us. And all we need to know is this. Or the reason we need to know this is because deep down inside, we all know that we're not what we ought to be. If we're honest, we all know that. And we all have areas in our lives that need to be different. Hey, if you're frustrated with the way you are, you need to realize that God is the one that can change you. Hey, are there areas in your life you're struggling in? Hey, the Bible says we all have a besetting sin. We all know what that is. Well, we and God know what that is. Hey, and you know what? There's areas that we got to work in. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to ask God to change us. Hey, do you have wrong desires in your heart? Do you maybe have some wrong desires towards somebody? Ask God to change those desires. Ask God to help you get right with Him. Hey, God's the source for those things. You know what lots of times we do as Christians? When there's things in us that we shouldn't have, instead of running to God, we run away from God. We run away from the source that can help us with those problems. We must realize that God can change us. Sometimes you get frustrated because you feel that everyone's against you and you don't know how to change. You don't know where to start. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. God says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through 27, let me read these to you. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Notice here, God's the one doing the cleansing here. Hey, they're not turning over a new leaf. You know what they're doing? They're asking God for cleansing, and God is the one that does the cleansing. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Praise the Lord for that. You know what that is? That's God changing a life. Hey, the changes that happen in life are going to happen because of God. When you know that you're not perfect and have problems, the answer is not to go away from God, but go to God. Hey, the devil's the one that wants you to think God will get mad at you and doesn't want you unless you're perfect. I'm glad that that's not true about God. I'm glad God doesn't say, okay, when you're perfect, then I'll accept you. When you're perfect, then I'll have a relationship with you. No, God really, hey, He says He remembers we're but dust. God knows that about us. You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to run to Him and rely on Him because He is the only one that can truly change us. When you think that you will discover that God can change the heart and God can change your heart and reverse those feelings, thoughts, and behaviors, God can do that. If you got a problem with something, maybe it's a problem with pride, ask God to help you change that because God can and He will. God can change your desires. God can change your desires. More often than asking us to do things that are against our desire, you know what God does? He changes our desires to do what He wants us to do. I love the verses. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Hey, that's what happens when you get saved. Some people don't want to get saved. I've talked to tons of young people like this. They don't want to get saved because they think they have to give this up and give that up. What they don't understand is when they get saved, God changes their desires. And God will do that. God change. How many of you can testify and be a witness to that? That God will change your desires. Before you were saved, you desired certain things. Your flesh liked doing certain things. And then once you got saved, all of a sudden, you just didn't want to do that anymore. Where'd that come from? Did that come from some, you know, deep welled up emotion down inside of you? No, that came from God. Because God can change us. Man, that's powerful. God can change us. And reality check number six, last one about God is this. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. I say the best for last. Psalms chapter 42, let's look at verses 1 and 2. Man, I love these verses. These are some of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. As the heart, that's speaking about a deer. By the way, I think the Lord put a stamp of approval this morning when I got up real early. I was eating my breakfast, looking out my window, and a deer ran just right out, not even 10 feet behind my house and ran around my house. And so I think the Lord solidified this to me this morning. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Let me right now open your eyes to one of the most important truths of the Christian life, is this, and that is this. God doesn't make us wait to get to heaven before He offers a relationship to us. He doesn't make us wait to get to heaven. That's what's so awesome about God. Is that, you know, honestly, now I realize heaven's going to expound everything so much more. But do you really know the difference between our relationship with God now and then? Honestly, the relationship difference ought to be then is then we'll be able to see Him with our eyes. That really should be about it. Because, hey, folks, God wants us to experience Him right now. Let me ask you a fair question. Did you experience a relationship with God this morning? That's a fair question to all of us. Hey, I'm not talking about just, okay, I got a list here. Check. I got a prayer list here. Okay, pray for blah, blah, blah. Okay, done. So that way I can tell Pastor I prayed this week. That's not a relationship with God. Now, I think those things, if you do them the right way, are part of a relationship with God. But that's not all there is to a relationship with God. I'm talking about, do you have a relationship with Him now? I'm talking about a friend relationship. And God offers that. That's what's so amazing is that He offers that to us now. Man, that's powerful. Right now, I know we can't see God, but that does not mean we cannot experience God. Now, I'm not talking about this weird emotionalism stuff. I'm talking about a genuine Bible relationship with God. Notice the words and the attitude of the psalmist here. Notice his desire for God. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Have you ever been really, really thirsty before? I mean, you know, one of those times you think you're going to die of thirst. I mean, you're so thirsty, your mouth is so parched. That's the picture he's given us here. And as much as you desire to drink some water, God says that ought to be your soul's desire for me. You don't desire me like that. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living. Notice here, he's very specific who he's thirsting and longing for. He's thirsting for the living God. Hey, the true God, the right God. But notice here, he's thirsting, he's desiring God. Each moment of every day, God is waiting to walk with us, talk with us through His Word and help us. What an awesome privilege this is. God is not far off and does not ask for blind faith. He's not so far off. Hey, God doesn't even ask for blind faith. If you ask God, He will prove Himself to you. Time and time and time again, God has proved Himself to me. Over and over again, proved Himself to me. He will verify His power and purpose to you personally. Personal. He will do that. That's the type of God He is. He will verify Himself to you. Now, once again, I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about the Word of God plainly says something, then you have to ask God for some big sign. But there's special ways God verifies Himself to us. Hey, there's special ways that in my own life, when I'm with my relationship with the Lord, certain things He allows me to see is just a glimpse of His presence. And I have a friend of mine who he tells me that his thing he likes to look for is red-tailed hawks. And every time he sees those hawks, it's just a personal way between him and God that God's just telling him that He loves him. And you know what? God does that for us. I mean, honestly, think about it. I mean, how in the world? I mean, just a silly illustration. I mean, I haven't never seen a deer that close to my yard before. I mean, it just happened to be the same exact moment I was looking out my window this morning. You know what I believe that was? That was just God just kind of verifying and showing things to me. Just in a small little thing like that. And folks, God will do that for us because He wants us to know Him. He doesn't ask for blind faith. He just asks us to have faith in Him. The goal is not for you to come here at this church and just be involved in everything we do. That's not the goal that we're trying to get you to do around here. Just to come and get involved. The goal is to try and get you to experience a real way of getting to know God and having a meaningful relationship with Him. If you can do this, if you'll do that, if you'll have a relationship with God, you won't have any problems participating in the things going on around the church. Now, we want you to come and participate. And even if necessary, you don't even understand all this yet, come anyway. We want you to be here. Come to church services. Come and get involved. But folks, the purpose of the preaching, the purpose of the teaching, the purpose of all that goes on around here is to try to get Christians to establish and build a relationship with God. That's the purpose of it all. You must not just be told what to do and why, but you must experience God's reality. Hey, the pastor cannot create those experiences with God for you. Now, we can foster an environment where you can learn about God and teach you how to experience God, but no one can make up this relationship with God for you. You've got to choose it on your own. And I promise you this, If you will step out by faith and seek a relationship with God, He'll be there. And your testimony can be as we find in the psalmist's testimony in verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And folks, I sure pray that God will be a reality in your life. Man, I don't want God just to be in my life something I talk about. I don't want God to be just some far-off being in heaven. No, I want God to be a personal experience every single day. Now, do we all fall short? Sure. Is every day like that? We'd like it to be, but probably not. But we ought to try. We ought to just work every day at establishing that relationship. So let's get real about God, folks. Let's get real about God and discover that, number one, He is there. Number two, He is good and His plan is good. That He is in control. That He likes you. That He can change you. And that God wants you to know Him. Let's get real. Let's understand who God is. And let's experience these things that He has offered to us. And let's enrich in our walk with Him. Don't wait till you get to heaven to think you're going to start this relationship, this journey with the Lord. Start it now. I mean, hey, if you're not saved, that's where it all begins, folks. It all begins with salvation. Hey, everything I taught to you this morning, if you're not saved, it doesn't make much sense to you. But you need to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hey, every journey begins with the first step, and that's the first step right there. But hey, that's just the first one. There's a lot more territory to cover. There's a lot more ground to cover. Hey, remember Israel? When they were going to the Promised Land, crossing over Jordan was just the first step of the journey. Then they had to conquer the land. Hey, God has a lot of lands He wants us to conquer. And a part of that, part of conquering those things, is by the things we learned this morning. So let's get real about God. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You for all these dear folks at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Thank You for the opportunity to preach to them this morning. Now, God, thank You for being a real God. Thank You that Your Word teaches us about You. God, thank You that Your Word tells us how we can have a relationship with You. And God, thank You that You offered that to us. Now, God, help us to take advantage of that. Lord, help us just not to live down here on earth and walk our way and do our thing and have no conscious thought about You, God. And even as Christians, Lord, help the staying of the Christian life to be real to us. Lord, help it just not to be a game. Help it not just to be something we do to do. But God, help us to do it because we love You, because we have a relationship with You, Lord. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord. Thank You for this passage in Psalms this morning. Now, bless our invitation time. Lord, I pray if there's one that's not saved, that they'd be saved this morning. Holy Spirit, You do the work. And I pray that You would draw them to Yourself. And we thank You for it. In Your name we pray.